A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
After the crew of the Tin Sparrow solved the murder of Numdris the Hutt, they spent the next several months continuing their work for Verbok, traveling the galaxy to find and secure numerous other artifacts and treasure. But the crew didn't just work nonstop. They also took some time for themselves and to have their own adventures. Kale went and found the remains of the Sweet Mimzo, taking them to Thorbin on Tatooine, who turned them into a race-winning pod racer. But Kale wasn't the only one to have an exciting quest. These are the adventures of Willy Roma and Saba. The immediate morning after the Hutt Council meeting, and you guys solving the murder, Verbok calls to you, and he asks for you to meet him at his estate.
Okay, I do that.
So you go there, and it's just you and him. There's no one else there. And he is right down to business. He's like, let's get this casino going.
All right.
We're ready. The Hutts, we gave you the casino. I want to get this moving. I want this open as quickly as possible. I think it's a good way for you and I to start controlling a sector of Nar Shaddaa. Start with one.
All right.
Then move to two.
All right.
And then move to three.
All right.
Then move to four. And we'll be at the top of the Hutt families. That's my goal. I want to be where Numdris was. I want that fucking seat.
Okay.
And
I'm down to help you get that.
And I think we can make this happen. So let's get that going. And so you guys start planning. And he calls in through his contacts. He pulls in like an architect, and he pulls in like an interior designer and all this stuff. And you guys plan what you're going to do and how you're going to change it. The architect already has like crews that they use for other projects and stuff.
I do make sure that I get all of their numbers and such.
Yep,
and
you get all that information.
Make sure they're my contacts as well.
Yeah, and you guys have like, it's an all-day meeting with all of you. And they have the blueprints from the original design,
mm-hmm.
and you guys start marking it up and how you want to move things and what you want to do. And so you guys finalize, probably not that day exactly, but within the next week,
yeah,
you guys have finalized your plans.
Yeah, I already have a pretty good idea of what I wanted to do. So
yeah, and so at that point, they tell you to have it done in 2 months.
Okay.
For crews working pretty much nonstop to take down walls, to install new equipment, to put in new carpeting or tile or whatever it is you're doing, to for the kitchen in the basement, for the dumbwaiter system, for moving stairwells out, from all that stuff. And in the timeline that you want is going to be about, what did I say, 200,000? No, two.
Oh, shit, we talked about it. What did we decide?
Yeah. It wasn't 200 million.
That's yeah, no, it was 100. It was 150 million for the reno.
Yeah,
and then
I think Verbok was going to put in 200 million total.
Yeah,
and that was the hunt that includes the 100,000 that he's going to put into the bank, more or less,
to the 100 million
for the amount of chips on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to cover the floor.
That was covering that. So it's about 150 million for the renovation in the time frame, with like crews working almost nonstop to get it fixed and installed,
right,
and cleaned and new systems installed. All of that stuff is covered underneath, mm-hmm. all that, as well as like hiring staff and buying supplies,
right,
and all of that is covered in that 200 million that Verbok is fronting.
Okay.
The casino, that's what he expects.
Nice.
It's an investment, right, to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he like lets you know, like, I do not expect to see returns immediately.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice to eventually get,
yeah,
paid back for my investment.
Yeah, I'll definitely. But I write all of that down, or mm-hmm. write. I put all of that into my personal data pad and
so,
make sure I'm recording how much everything is and
all
of that stuff. Within the first week also, I do want to go online probably or find one to order some like some books on business in general.
Okay.
Off of Staples and Regal.
Okay. Sure. So yeah, you just go on there, you order some books. I mean,
yeah.
How many books?
Probably like three.
Okay. All the books.
That's 45 credits for the three books.
Cool.
You got that Prime account?
No, this is on Staples and Regal.
Oh, so they don't have that next day free shipping.
No.
No.
Over orders of $35.
Right. I'll have to order off of Achani next time.
Yeah.
I'm start reading over those, getting some, making sure that I'm covering all my bases as we're setting up the casino.
Okay.
Like, by talking to Verbach, obviously, but I don't know how much business he actually knows, like, as far as running specific, as far as the casino. And
he's
trying to do
pretty basic understanding of business stuff. He's, you know, he's been, well, he spent years doing, like, soldiering and stuff. He has spent enough time around the five families that he has a
pretty good. He's like mostly trade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna look over those and make sure I'm covering all my bases.
Okay.
And then I guess start doing some things while those renovations are happening.
Yeah, I mean they, you know, Verbach kind of expects you to at the beginning do walkthroughs every few days just to make sure that everything's going
right
according to plan. As it gets closer to being finished at the end of the 2 months, he kind of wants like daily walkthroughs to make sure that the punch lists are being completed, that everything's getting fixed and ready to go, because you guys are planning for a pretty big opening night. And you guys are, you know, you're starting to already pass out invitations to the five families and other people there on Nal Hutta, or Nar Shaddaa, sorry. To get people,
And I want to use, like, make sure that some of my prostitutes or all of them are talking up the casino that it's reopening with like new management and all of, or new owner and all that stuff.
For sure,
make sure that we're getting the most clientele on that first night.
Okay. So what are you doing when you're not doing your like daily or weekly walkthroughs? What else are you doing?
One thing that I want to do is I want to get to know all of the prostitutes.
Okay.
And so I want to do that by like taking them out to like, I guess breakfast isn't the best meal. Taking them out to a meal each day.
Yeah, I mean like breakfast is like right at the end of their shift.
So I'm take one of them out each day.
Okay.
And like kind of get to know them.
All right.
I want to do that because I want to get to know them, but also with the kind of purpose of finding one of them to cover for me while I'm away, because I know that we're going to be gone on missions and stuff.
Yeah.
So I want someone that I can
possibly trust. Possibly weeks at a time. You know?
Right. I want someone I can trust to handle money.
Okay. So you do that, and you go out to various meals, not just like, it's not always lunch, it's not always dinner. Sometimes it is breakfast,
whatever,
you know?
Whatever's easiest
for... It works for them, right?
Yeah.
And you have how many again? Six? Eight?
Eight.
Eight. So you don't do one necessarily every day, but kind of like every other day, just kind of taking, again, when they're available. And so you do, you get to know them, you ask them questions about their childhood and stuff, and or how they ended up on Nal Hutta.
Just all sorts of things.
You know, like how did they, or not, so I keep saying Nal Hutta. How did they end up on Nar Shaddaa?
Why, like... Why did they stick around? What do they enjoy, for one, about the job? And, like, what do...
Absolutely.
If they're trying to do something...
Yeah. Are they using that money for... Are you trying to go to school?
I can answer you why they do the job. Because sex is fun, and money is awesome.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's not something that Willie Rowe knows.
Yeah, it's true. On both accounts.
You're about to learn about money being awesome.
I mean, he's had a pretty... No, I mean, his view of money is different than everyone else's because he comes from a rich family already.
That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm. And so he's
It's not something that you have
to... You don't see it as... and you don't understand or know necessarily, or maybe even understand it as a need of survival as much. So, like, I can see that being an interest. Like, do you need this money to live, sort of thing? Like, you know, like you have these, let's say, Peaches, the Gamorrean. Like, do you speak Gamorrean?
Is that one of the many, many languages you speak?
Because they don't speak Hutt. They only speak, as far as I know, I'm sure one.
They can understand common, but similar to Wookiees, they cannot speak basic.
But can they speak Hutties?
I don't think so. I think they only speak in their native Gamorrean.
I do not know that language. Okay. I will attempt to pick it up, though.
Yeah, so you,
and I can buy a Vox Box if that's something that...
You can do that, or you can take...
One of the other girls.
You can take PN15 with you.
That's true.
You know?
PN15 will totally be able to do that.
Yeah. And again, you can try to... She can understand you. Mm-hmm. It's just you're having issues understanding her. So yeah, it's definitely something you can like pick up a book on and you know, how to speak Gamorrean in 60 days or whatever. It's
by next
it's the Rosetta Stone or whatever.
The Rosetta Stone for Gamorrean.
For Gamorreans. Mm-hmm. But so you take Pian with you or whatever, so he translates everything she grew up on Gamorrea and like just kind of what you might expect Gamorrea to be like. Mm-hmm. Like just all the men kind of go into being guards. It's a very like warrior centric culture, and that like she got taken away when she was young because like her father died being a guard for a hut, and then her mom was sold into slavery because she couldn't fend for herself, and by that she by proxy was also sold into like slavery and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually she was freed, but she had nothing. She had no skills because she was taken away at such a young age that she kind of fell into prostitution. So she uses it as a way to live and stuff and like make a living in a way that like only she really can because she doesn't have a skill set, but she makes good money on Ar Shaddaa and stuff. And so for her, like, again, and to contrast you not needing it necessarily to survive because it's always just been something you've had, on the flip side, something she's never had until this. And so to her, it's like the reason she does the job. It's the most important thing.
Right.
Like, the sex and all that stuff, that doesn't mean shit. Because that was, like, growing up routine. And so now she just has to do it for money. Yeah. And it's, like, that's why she does it. And so, like, now she finds a deep comfort knowing that, like, she doesn't have to worry about food. She has the money for it. Yeah. You know? She doesn't have to worry about a place to live. Because she can afford an apartment. She doesn't, you know?
Yeah. Well, I do let her and all of them know, really, that anything that they need help with, I'm like, they have my ear.
Okay. They are all very grateful.
My number.
Yeah. You kind of find out that they all kind of live together. Not like together in one apartment, but like in the same apartment complex.
Okay.
Various floors and stuff. And there's the different, like, some make more money than others. Mm-hmm. So they live in a higher up, like, suite than maybe some others do that may live in a single bedroom on a lower floor.
Yeah.
But some of it's also by choice. Some just don't need it and don't care about that because they're only there to sleep and like wash up and then
go back out.
Right. And it's all with, that's that apartment complex is within that district. It's not far from there. It's a little kind of tucked away back behind some stuff that way. Johns don't just follow them home.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
But through talking to that, you talked to Stardust.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys kind of had a pretty good repertoire between the two of you the first time you talked.
Right.
And you feel that connection again with her, and there's just some ease about the conversation between you two. Like, she sees you as a very good thing that has happened to their little group, their little like kind of family.
Mm-hmm.
She feels it like you being taken over and stuff and getting Narcissus out is like a really good thing that's happened to them. And just the fact that your first move is to split it to like 60-40 or whatever in favor of them, like, improves a lot of their lives greatly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it also kind of immediately alleviates that stress of like, I'm doing this, but I'm not making the most I could be. It kind of relieves that to a lot of them, and they are all very grateful for that. And
awesome.
And you can kind of tell that like she, to their group, is kind of the leader of them. They all look to her. She's she's a little bit older than them. You can she tells you, just a couple of years in some cases. But then there's some that are really young in comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone's of age, like,
right?
But like, she's like 37, and the rest are like between like 20. Let's say 30.
Yeah.
So she's about 7 years older than most of them.
Right.
She's got more experience.
Indeed. Yeah.
She's been around the block a few times.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That makes sense that she is already in the position that I want her to be in. Then.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to her about that position, like how I'm probably going to be gone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so they already know, probably have already told everybody that about the casino.
Yeah.
What I want to do is be able to give her one of the code cylinders that I'll like give to the people who are running security.
Okay.
And so that she can get into the elevator.
Okay.
That's on the casino, the side of it, so that she can get to the basement and like go ahead and like deposit money from there. And basically just kind of make sure things are running smoothly.
Okay.
And always be like keeping in communication with me.
All right.
Otherwise, I mean, I'll be here for the 4 months. So
okay.
I'll just keep track of things until right. then.
For sure. So anything else that you're doing while the construction's happening?
Well, I need to find some employees.
Okay.
So I'll talk to Verbach about more contacts, people who I can contact mm-hmm. about filling all these positions that I need.
Yeah.
So I guess first I need to break down what those positions are.
Yeah, just tell me.
Mostly figured out them. So it starts with I'm opening the kitchen.
Okay.
So I need head chefs and cooks for multiple shifts.
Correct.
And then head bartenders and regular bartenders for multiple shifts. Bosses, floor bosses, and pit mm-hmm. bosses. Dealers, and then security heads and
okay.
normal guards.
For sure. And then every other staff is droids.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like server droids, like cleaning droids, maintenance, mm-hmm. and I think that's really about it.
Yeah, pretty much like one at each bar, probably, and then a couple to serve to like wait.
Yeah, tables. And then I think you said you're going to have some also in the kitchens for
yes.
bus duty.
Yes, it's for cleaning like dishes and
yeah, bussing the tables and all that stuff. Yeah.
Bussing tables and such. Like so that's 8 droids
okay.
that I'm going to need. So one thing I also do is try and contact a droid seller and see if I can buy those droids and also see if I can set up some sort of contract mm-hmm. to maintain those droids on
okay.
like a weekly or monthly basis.
Right. Yeah, I think we talked about, if I remember correctly, it was a monthly rotation for maintenance on the droids. That way he wasn't having to remove a whole lot of them at once. That way he could pull like one a week in a maintenance on a droid if nothing's wrong. It's like they go and they come back.
Right.
Like within a day.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anything wrong, that way it kind of gives you time, but you still have at least 7 droids on the floor at all times yeah. working. So
so it's 27,000 to buy those droids and then you set up a contract. It's 2,000 a week.
Yep.
I guess then I need to continue working on like finding employees
okay.
for all those positions.
Yeah. So with the help of Verbach, he has contacts with other hut families across the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
He puts out a call, like a hiring, like we need people. So you get a ton of applications and stuff. And
there's one person in particular
mm-hmm.
that I think deserves to be a head bartender.
Okay.
Not the head bartender.
All right.
That's Ants.
All right.
So
and she
try and call her.
Yeah. You talk to Verbach about it because you're like, I don't want Mardosh probably to feel like I'm encroaching on his face or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so he puts you in contact with him. Mardosh is okay. fine. Mardosh is fine with it.
Nice.
He's obviously like, it's at her discretion.
Right, of course. She has a choice.
But he's like, he realizes that she has like a relationship with you guys and that you kind of got her out of the shithole she was in to begin with.
Mm-hmm. I'll pay her well.
Yeah. he lets he'd be sad to see her go, but
well, that's
good. It's her call. So you get a call from her. She's heard about the opening, and she's kind of a little reserved about it. She didn't enjoy working
at the same casino.
Yeah, she didn't enjoy working there to begin with.
It'll look completely different.
She eventually, it's like, all right, you know, you talk about it's us, and it's right. more money, and all this stuff, and she can't say no. It's too good of a position, and she is kind of desperate to get off of Tatooine because Tatooine is hot as balls.
Yeah,
and
it's just muggy on Nar Shaddaa.
Yeah, but there's also like better AC, more equipped for that than
For sure.
Yeah, Tatooine.
It's almost always like night there because of the cloud cover.
Yeah.
So it's not hot.
So it's just a little muggy.
It's just a little muggy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of like it is right now outside.
Yeah.
Where it's 83, but you're like, I'm swimming. But that's more bearable than 113.
That's just because we all jumped in its pool.
Oh. So Ants joins your crew as one of the head bartenders.
One down. 100 and something to go.
You eventually fill all those positions.
Nice.
You get everyone hired.
I, of course, do interviews to make sure that everybody's trustworthy.
You
and
spend a
all
good
of that stuff
month.
Because I, yeah. Yeah.
Like just definitely. Almost every day, just constantly interviewing people for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
I need to. After having broken into this casino, basically, I want to make sure everything is secure.
Yeah, we'll make sure that never happens again.
Yeah, yeah. So on as much free time as I can have doing that, also I want to, I guess during the renovations, that's part of putting in a new security system. Is that included in that? Or
the new security system? Yeah. That's included in the renovations.
We talked about that.
Yeah, Verbok 2 wants to ensure that his casino doesn't get fucked like Uldrick's did. He ain't about that life.
Do you want to do rolls for the prostitution or for the Rakul serum for that month?
Let's do the Rakul serum first. So for this is the first month. So you're on Nar Shaddaa. Audrey Fett walks into the casino one day. So you guys are doing renovation. Okay, so you're still at the casino, but maybe you're outside of it. Maybe you're not insta because it's like a construction zone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, you see her coming down the street. She's super pumped to see you. And when she sees you, she kind of gets a little like skip in her step, and she starts walking a little bit faster to get up there. And she comes up. She has like an envelope in her hand. She's like, "Hey, hey, Willie Rowe.
Hello, we'll met."
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So, Gorgonzola asked me to give this to you.
Oh, and is this the?
It is. It's the first month of the When is this casino gonna open? I love casinos.
Yeah, I know that about you. Hopefully soon. Probably within the next month.
Oh man, I can't wait. Oh, that's so fun. It's not far from where I live. This is amazing. Okay. And then she just kind of like takes off,
bye.
Like very awkwardly. And blushing and the whole mess. Okay. So we'll see what you made.
4,000.
4,000. That's not bad. And then not long after that, Stardust comes up. She comes up. She's like, "We got your first month of monies here."
Great.
And she pulls out like a bag. Because her credit chips, I was going to have like dollar bills. That she was going to pull like a wad of dollar bills. Like just a wad of cash. But it doesn't work that way. So it's just a sack of credit chips.
Much credit chips.
We're going to see how much it is.
142,000.
Damn. Damn.
Oh, wow. That's how much you earned?
Yeah, just from the prostitution.
Wow. That is a good chunk of change.
This is 146,000 from the...
Yeah.
One thing that I do want to do is, like, I want to provide a central location so that my prostitutes aren't necessarily as in as much danger.
Okay.
So I guess a brothel is what I want to.
Okay.
I want to.
Originally, I was going to be like, you can't afford that.
No, I want to start looking for a location.
For sure.
Like, I want to scout.
Yeah. So, okay. There are some, in your sector, they're not as close as you might like. They're like a mile or two away are some apartment like buildings that are mostly empty, kind of not the greatest looking, not terrible locations, but just old. And so
and smaller,
and so like, yeah, there's not a lot of people moving it because we're in like the time of like skyscrapers and whatnot, and these are older, a little more rundown looking. But again, it's you're living a good sector. Like, yeah. Or this all isn't a good sector. There's not really a ghetto in this area or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just old. Instead of being like, you know, 14 to 20 stories tall, like a lot of the other apartments in this area, it's like five stories, five, six,
okay,
stuff like that. And, you know, they may have up to 20 rooms a floor. No. On some of them, they're pretty big.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's bigger than I was looking for, really.
Okay. The smallest one's about 3 stories and it has about 5 rooms a floor. It's a really small, tiny one that's kind of tucked away back. You have to like go down this one street and then you kind of take a little side street, like a dead end side street. But then you have, from there, you have to take another side street.
Oh.
And then it's like kind of back at the end of that little out of the way.
That might work, except for like cross travel, like one guy leaving. Like everyone knows where you're going.
Yeah. But it's about 3 stories, about 5 rooms for four or whatever.
Man, that's the right size. That's the size that I want.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's the location
That's one that's available now.
The book that I've been reading says location, location, location.
Yeah. You can see that Abercrombie and Bith is just not pulling in the crowds that it used to.
Really?
It's just, you know, fashions change. And when you were in high school on Coruscant, everyone was wearing Abercrombie and Bith
mm-hmm.
underneath their school uniforms. and, yeah, I mean, yeah, you went in there and you bought some stuff, but that day you went and bought stuff. Like, they had sold out of a lot of things, primarily because of the opening for the casino and a lot of those people, or not the opening, that night.
Right.
And a lot of the extra staff having to go in and buy, like, uniforms.
Yeah.
And black pants uniform. And mm-hmm. white shirts were all sold out. But, you know, there was not a lot of other people in there.
Right.
And, like, the next time you went, there's pretty much an empty store. So, if you want to try, maybe persuade someone to maybe, you could buy the building and renovate that as well.
I might make that a little bit more long-term,
mm-hmm.
but that does seem like a good location.
Yeah, it's right next door.
Yeah, right next door. Mm-hmm. Though that also might be a good location to expand. But that's also lofty.
Yeah. But you could always do the upper floors,
right,
the brothel, and the bottom floor, more casino.
Right.
And then just combine the buildings. Mm-hmm. Just get rid of that alleyway in between.
Yeah. I'll have to more months down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm down to go to the second month.
Okay, so the second month, let's do, once again, Audrey Fett. This time she does come in because you're now doing interior stuff. A lot of the new walls are up or whatever, mm-hmm. and like new flooring's being put down. They're starting to get like
burgundy.
Yeah, all that in place, all the like new tables, new machines.
Burgundy, burgundy for the rug.
Yeah, for all the things.
Everything
it's like that's like the main color.
The color palette.
Yeah.
That you're going with. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Sure.
So she walks in.
Color.
Yeah.
And you're standing there and you've got like a hard hat on top of your
on top of your big ass nose.
And you're there with like the like one of the main contractors and your architect and stuff, and you guys are at like the water display in the center and stuff, and cuz you guys have brought it, you've made it smaller, but you've made it it's like way more vibrant than it was before. So you're there, and you guys are talking about stuff, and you're pointing all over the place, and she comes in. And again, like, she walks in, and she sees you, and she is just like,
oh! Hello, Matt.
Yeah, and she comes up again. She's like, hi. Okay, sure. And, like, hands you another envelope. And then she, like, comes in, gives you a kiss on the cheek, and then just takes off.
I hope things are going well.
And she just kind of giggles and runs out the door. And the architect just kind of was like, got a fan?
Yeah. She's mind tricked to be in love with me.
What?
not by my choice.
What?
Yeah, well,
you can't say that.
What?
That's basically date rape.
That's not by my choice.
Yeah, that's a. Let's put a pin in that. Let's get back to work. And he just continues going over his blueprints. And you open the envelope, and you've made
18,000.
Other rules?
Yeah, let's do the. Yeah.
Meet her up.
Yeah, later that night, for you, not necessarily for her, it's like 7 p.m. You meet her at the Lenny's. You guys are just having coffee.
Yeah.
You're not like having dinner or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You're just getting coffee and just to talk. And again, she hands you another bag And she's just kind of telling me how the girls are doing and the one dude, whatever his name is.
Phil
the Gungan.
Yeah. Keep Chub Rub away from him.
I'll do my best.
Yeah. Doing a good job so far.
Always tells me stories about his sister, Lil.
And give me a total when you can, but I can already tell it's not as good as your first month, which, you know, it happens.
So that's $119,000 from the prostitution.
Okay.
And then plus the $18,000.
All right.
So all for the month.
Close to the end of this month, you guys are wrapping up the construction. You've got your staff hired. They are training for like 2 weeks constantly. Bartender yes. Ants is running the training for the bartenders and all that stuff.
So I do, during that time, I need to do some shopping.
Okay.
Some other shopping because I need to buy comlinks for everyone that's going to be on the floor at a time. So that's 119 comlinks that I'm going to get. I need to get 14 coat cylinders.
Okay.
And then I'm going to buy 15 sets of fiber armor for all the guards.
Okay.
And then the 22 stun rods to arm pit and floor bosses
yeah, and guards and stuff. As well.
And then blaster pistols to arm all the guards. And then 200 energy cell packs.
Okay.
Just to cover a base so far, at least. And all of that comes out to 87,805 credits.
Okay.
So
you do that.
I will put that down.
Yeah, you go see Drew Thief, and he is a super thrilled to have a bulk order.
I bet he is.
Yeah.
In fact, take 10,000 off of that.
Okay.
That's the Drew Thief special.
Nice.
What?
So good that it's like you were a thief.
Yeah. So you do all that. You get that stuff purchased. At the end of that month, again, you guys are nearing the end. You guys, pretty much the beginning of the third month is when you have your grand opening.
Mm-hmm. Extravagant affair.
Extravagant affair. It goes smoothly, despite all the shit that happened beforehand.
Yeah, goddamn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did reach out to make sure that episode is going to air. I did reach out to make sure that episode is going to air.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about the podcast. Yeah, episode, it is.
I'm talking to Caleb.
Yeah. and they are they're working on it. It's going to be out. It'll be out soon. Soonish. But they said within the next few months. So Kale and Chub Rub go off, and they find the junkyard that the Sweet Mimzo is being held in.
Okay.
They pick up the remains that they can. They take it back to Tatooine.
Hmm.
They meet up with Thorbin. They build a pod racer.
Neat.
So he calls you up and tells you that, like, he's super excited. And I'm going to do my best Kale impersonation just to kind of tell you what he says. But he's kind of like, oh, Willie, I can't. You'll never believe what's going to happen. I'm a race in a pod racing contest.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'll have him record it or something.
Spot. Yeah. On. No need to have him recorded. That was gold. Yeah.
That's a Kale.
Toe. And he's really pumped about it. And he's like, yeah, they think I'm going to lose.
They think you're going to lose?
Yeah, they put me in the last place. The odds are against me.
Well, knowing that Chubrub's there.
Chubrub's here. My boy Thorbin helped me build it.
I feel like y'all can win.
That's what they keep telling me to. I keep throwing up.
Well, classic Kale.
Well, yeah. You know, if you go out in Tatooine at night and you pick up this certain root that it's kind of long, it's a little stringy, but like you got to pick it up and you got to boil it. Mm-hmm. You drink that tea, that should help.
Okay. Sure. So you can make a bet for the race.
I do want to bet on that race because I think that Chub Rub is going to make sure that he wins. He's going to do whatever he can. So I'm just going to put my profit from this last week into it to see if I can get the most as possible.
So how much are you putting on it for that last week?
$119,000.
Oh, shit. You make 11.9 million credits.
Because Kale won by like a lot.
By a lot, a lot, a lot, a lot.
A lot.
And the best part was Chub Rub had very little to do with it.
It's true.
Okay.
It's true.
He
did it on his own accord.
He helped.
He did some sabotage stuff that definitely helped. But then people also wrecked and blew up and wrecked into other people, and then someone just didn't race.
I was rolling garbage, so
pod racing is dangerous.
Yeah, it was so fucking funny. It was so good. But anyway, so yeah, so you make 11.9 million credits.
Fucking crazy.
That's insanity. Holy shit. Before the casino even opens, you're rich.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
All right.
That's so much money.
Daniel thought he was rich because he put down 10 grand and ended up getting a million credits.
Yeah.
you can afford like a fleet of Star Destroyers. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right.
So he does that.
I definitely call him up to congratulate him and get the full rundown on what happened.
He tells you the story. He says he'll be home in a couple of days. They're come back. He tells you about Mardosh was very impressed with the racing and the speeder that they built. That he is he's going to sponsor him as a pod racer.
Nice.
Yeah. So he's
going to do that more often.
He's going to do some races.
I hope he doesn't die.
Yeah. Don't we all? So yeah, he's going to be doing that around the galaxy. I mean, it'll be kind of like whenever you guys get to a planet, if there happens to be a speed or a pod racer run to do, he'll
go do it. Swoop racing, because
that's
big right now.
Yeah, so
he could swoop race.
Yeah, so he'll be taking part of that. What now?
going. I guess the casino's open.
Yeah.
Shit. So I need to make sure everything's correct. Make sure I'm gonna be there as often as I can be. Mm-hmm. Really, at this point, until I'm for sure everything's going well. I need to make sure that I have the right amount on hand to cover everything that's going on. With the renovations, there's now 105 slot machines.
Okay.
And they're set up to where 55 of them are 10 to play and 50 of them are 50 to play.
Okay.
Then there are 25 tables still, with 13 of them being 50 per hand. And then 7 of them being 500 per hand and 5 of them being 1,000 per hand.
Okay.
So that's kind of how everything's set up. Overall, the drinks are a little overpriced and the food's kind of...
Thought the drinks were free. Food was overpriced, drinks were free.
We did make drinks free.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that.
Like a standard, like a regular old...
Yeah, I just forgot about that. For sure. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
One thing I do want to make sure...
I
mean, the whole process of... Like, I've kind of already talked about it, the two doors, like, there's one person that, like, has the ability to actually put money into, like, part of the renovations was to put a room that has a secret door, like a secret door on it to the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a 15 by 15 room.
Okay.
And there's not much in there except for that's where... a chunk of the money goes, like the actual profit,
because
there's a fair amount that's just staying there, just being part of the casino.
Yeah, you always have to cover whatever is on the floor.
Yeah, and so, but otherwise, all of the profit goes into that room, and that's also where Stardust can go.
Okay.
So Stardust, and then a single head of security.
Okay.
So, Vidabrast, he has... One of those
is he just a security guard?
He's one of the heads.
Oh, okay.
Like the headest of heads.
Oh, he is.
So you want to start making rolls for your... How do you have... Do you want to do this by week?
I mean, that's how I have it set up.
Okay.
It's by week.
Let's
do it. And then also have expenses laid out.
Mm-hmm. For your first... We have to do 8 of these? We'll do the first... For the first month.
Okay.
So...
So 4 of them.
That's an 8.
An 8?
Mm-hmm.
So that is 221 million.
Good golly.
568,885.
Okay.
Wow.
3?
3 is 75,981,110.
All right. That's a 6.
163,333,775.
Oh, damn. That's a 9?
Oh,
250,686,440.
Okay, so you make probably close to 75 million, 750 million in that first month.
What the fuck?
And you have to pay 10% of that to Verbog. Plus, you have your other bills and stuff that expenses go up.
Do you want me to add those real quick?
Or? You add those and then subtract your stuff so I know what your profit is. Are for sure.
Mm-hmm. So we want to do the last 4 weeks.
Let's do the last 4 weeks.
And then I think that's it for me for those months. Okay. That's all I need to do. So 588,000, 1,590.
You're a billionaire,
credits.
Right?
Yeah.
2 months of this casino being open, and you're a billionaire.
Well, some of that doesn't come with me.
That's true. But
that's how much the casino has earned.
Yeah, that's the casino's worth.
We do need to do expenses for those 2 months. So for the 2 months, it's 1,428,952 credits.
For the 2 months?
As far as paying for utilities, kitchen and bar expenses, breakage, and then the droid contract as well.
It's like 1% of your total earnings.
Yeah. That's just 1 million credits off of the billion you made.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's insanity. Yeah. What?
Yeah. I think we broke the game.
Yeah, we just broke it.
I will probably now start looking at buying Abercrombie and Bith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your company could very well buy it.
Easily.
We'll pick that up later.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
That's a successful 2 months.
Thank you all so much for listening. I really appreciate all the feedback that we've gotten for doing these little like episodes based on the characters, like and their little like one-off sort of adventures and stuff. I wasn't really sure how everyone's going to respond to it, but you guys really seem to enjoy the Kale episode, so I really hope you enjoy this episode with you guys just heard Willy Roma's little business plan, scheme, whatever you want to call it, you know, opening up the Sarlacc money pit. If you have heard the Kevisode, that takes place during that time. If you have not heard it yet, there may have been a couple spoilers, but it takes place during that time. If you haven't heard it yet, please patreon.com/8bitgeek to go $5 a month. You can get access to that episode. It's so good. Up next is Sawbone, and his is a little more action packed than Willy's, which is, you know, kind of try to some balance here. But anyways, if you enjoy our show, make sure to go check out the other shows on the 8-Bit Geek Network, such as the 8-Bit Geek, 8-Bit Legends, Divas Dropkicks and Dives, Brainberry Tarts, and Garbage Day. We are right in the middle of 8-Bit Horror Fest right now. If you like scary movies and stuff, make sure to go check out all the reviews and stuff that are dropping over on the 8-Bit Geeks channel. At the point in which I'm recording this, We Talk Games, a friend of the show, we've released their review of Pumpkinhead. Divas Dropkicks and Dives have released their review of Alien. And then today, on Friday, the 6th, should be 8-Bit Geek's review of Night of the Living Dead. So, that being said, go check those out and enjoy 8-Bit Horror Fest. We have an 8-Bit Horror Fest t-shirt that's available at threadless.com/8BitGeek. That shirt is on sale right now for $20 for like the tri-blend super soft version. Go check that out. You can find links to our Threadless, to our Patreon, and to our Discord over on our website, theepicgeek.com. Join us on Discord. We enjoy talking to our listeners and playing video games with you guys. A lot of people have been playing PUBG, the Battlefront 2 beta and stuff going on. Let's see. Ark, all sorts of stuff. So to join that, again, there's a link right on our website, so you can go do that. Make sure to follow us on Facebook at TheEpicGeek, Twitter, @8bit_saga. If you tweeted us using the hashtag 8bitsaga, we'll name a character after you. We've been getting a lot of tweets from people like asking to have characters named after them, and then also where are their characters. Listen, I've got a list of like 30 plus names now at this point, and I'm trying not to oversaturate storylines with a bunch of like normal sounding names because it's Star Wars, right? So one, chances are I'm gonna change your name in some way to make it fit, and also like we'll get there, so don't worry. Your characters are coming, eventually. The way we record this, it typically takes us 2 sessions to record a full arc, and we record 1 session a month, so you kind of see. And then those normally get split up to about 3 to 4 episodes. So that's like 2 months, right? So the stuff that I'm editing right now was recorded back in July, I think? June or July? So, whew. Shit. What else? Did that, Did that. Yeah, so like I said, the next part of the episode follows Sawbone and his adventure, so let's get back to that. Our next episode should be released October 20th, I believe. Is that Friday? And we'll have something for 8-Bit Horror Fest, so keep an eye out on the 8-Bit Geeks channel for that. It'll be spooky. And Kale is editing that episode, so hopefully it's good. I'm just kidding. If you've heard the Kale episode, he did a good job on that. So let's get back to it. Sawbone. Verbok has taken an interest in you and your bounty hunting.
Nice.
And he calls you to his estate one day. He calls you and Chubrub. And he brings you in, and you speak Huddies, yeah?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I can.
Good, so I don't have to like have pee in there.
Nah, I got you. I mean, he could be there if he wants to be there. But
He's probably off doing stuff for Willie or something.
You know, likely.
Yeah. And so he brings you in, and... the two of you, and he says, you know, when we first met, you two had just become acquaintances. He had saved you from a slaver.
That's some strong wording.
So true.
I mean, that's the account that I was told.
Uh-huh.
That he was going after the bounty on Yon Nave.
That's true.
And he pulled you off that ship.
In a matter of speaking.
I mean, I did save your life.
I stabbed that dude in the neck.
Yeah, but I mean, you would have just been there.
I've watched him fly that thing around. I think I could figure it out. I did it before.
He does have a piloting skill. So. He does have a pilot.
Yeah, so he probably could have figured it out.
Yeah, he would have figured it out. But
or I would have died in a fireball. Either way, you know, potato, yeah. Potato.
Verbok's just listening to you guys banter back and forth. He's kind of chuckling to himself. And he's like, I need a personal bounty hunter. And Sawbone, I think that you have the skill to be my bounty hunter, to do missions for me personally. You can still obviously take missions off the bounty board, and you can still do that. But if I need something, I'm calling you first. I'm not going to be putting them out publicly unless you are unavailable at the time.
Awesome. That sounds great.
And he's like, and I've got a bounty that I need you to do, and I want Chubrub to go with you because I admire his creativity.
I just flash him a really toothy smile.
I admire his creativity and the gusto he uses in his kills. While I may have watched out for civilians, I thoroughly enjoyed the taking out of Keith's track. I thought that it was at a public stage in front of people. Really sent a message, and that is what I can get behind.
I mean, I push the button. He just plays the
This is
eye.
True. This man, you know, we're a team sometimes. He does a lot of the work, but, you know, I can't do my magic without my homies.
Absolutely, and that's why I have both of you here today. The mission I have for the two of you, I need you to go to Sullust, which is a planet not too far from here, kind of on the other side of Naboo. It is a volcanic planet. It's where the Solstans come from, if you've ever seen their species before. And out of character, it's Ninnub. It's the guy that rode next to Lando when Lando had the Millennium Falcon. That species. They kind of look like... I say catfish because I know that... What's his face also? The Mon Calamari? Yeah,
that's what I meant. It was Mon Calamari.
Yeah, but they... These have like that weird like
the
lip.
Cleft the double palette. Lip.
Yeah. Like kind of like...
Double cleft palate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyways, needs you to go... to Sullust, there is a mining company called the Celestial Mining Co. And there's a person there that we want you to take out. The reason for this is that up until the Battle of Rusan, this planet was under the control of the Sith Empire. And now that they're gone, this planet, for the last 5 years, has been in limbo. The Republic wants them. We want them, the Hutts, because they mine. They do a lot of mining there. And through that mining of the ore on that planet, they build a lot of starships. And they build a lot of weapons. Mm-hmm. And those two things are very important to the Hutts.
And is it dead or alive or just dead?
This dude, the dude that we want, his name is Anson Thatch. He is a foreman at the Celestial Mining Company. We want him dead. This is a favor to the workers there because he has been stealing pension funds from the workers, but they can't do anything because he's protected. And if we take him out, we may be able to sway their opinion on who the planet goes for, whether it be the Republic or us, and we need it to be us. So this is a favor. So this is all out of my own pocket because I want to win the favor. I want to bring this to the council. I want to move the huts forward, and I want that fucking planet. So go to Sullust. Go to
the mining factory
area, whatever you want to call it. The facility. Thank you. The mining facility. And kill this guy. He's a foreman. He's there almost 23 hours a day. That's galactic. It's a galactic standard day. So he's there all the time. He lives there. He has like an apartment there. The best time to get in there is at night when there's not a lot of guards. There may be a couple patrol units just to protect the mine and stuff, but when there's not workers there, when it's nighttime, because even though they keep the place pretty well lit and stuff, it could still be very dangerous because it's a volcanic planet. There's a lot of like lava wells where the ground just sinks out and it just becomes a well that just lands into lava, like sinkholes. So they don't have people that typically work at night. So that's your best time to get in.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being drop dead, 10 being message received loud and clear, how vocal do you want this to be?
Pretty vocal.
Gotcha.
We want everyone to know that he's dead, and we will put out word that we did it to kind of sway them out to us and stuff.
Yeah, sway the opinion of the workers. Yep.
So as loud as you can do it, as big as you can do it, yeah, that's what I need from you guys, and you'll be paid well for doing so.
All right.
And we'll discuss payment when you come back.
Sounds like a plan.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
All right. So you guys, you'll take the ship and you fly. It's about a 2-day trip, pretty much just over to Sol. So again, you fly by Naboo, you get there. It's dark on this planet. There's a lot of cloud cover and stuff. There is, you think about when you're on an airplane and you look out over like a city at night when you're flying over, and there's just that glow of light. That's what you see when you're flying in, but it's not city lights. It's just lava. You can see way in the distance like a city, kind of just again that the different kind of glow, different color, less natural looking. And you guys land. Not too far from the facility. You don't land at a docking bay. You guys are coming in like the dark of night.
We're trying to be sneaky about this.
Trying to be
this,
sneaky.
So,
I mean,
zero dark 30.
You use the full like stealthiness of your ship to just in under like the radar, and just you land just a little ways away just to not draw any attention to you coming there, but not far of a trek. So you're looking at like a 15-minute walk from your ship to there. You guys get there. You see like the big billboard for like, you know, this dig paid for by the Celestial Mining Co. And you guys walk up to the edge of like this huge like mining quarry, and you guys can like, you can see down, but again, it's dark. There's still kind of like that light pollution of the open like lava around. There's a couple of spotlights, but it's still pretty dark down there.
Is there any vegetation of any kind?
Nope. It's all,
it's all
just rock.
Yeah. Rock and lava.
So you guys can see down. You, with your low light vision helmet, goggles, whatever you have on.
It's a visor. It's part of my helmet.
Yeah. You can actually see things pretty well. There's some spots behind rocks and stuff that are a little darker. For the most part, where there's light and where there's kind of that light pollution and stuff, you can see pretty clearly. On the map in front of you, that's the quarry and stuff. The circle like shapes, whatever those are, with the that are kind of colored in a little bit, those are like open holes. B, you designed this. Are these, can they go down those, or are those like bottomless?
No, those are going to be like just 3-foot holes, so for Sawbone, they'll give half cover, and for Chubrub, they'll give full cover.
Yeah.
And then the not filled in shapes are rocks that will give cover as well, so you can duck behind them.
You can see there are two guards kind of patrolling the area. They're not really, there's not like a set path for them. They're not like watching the perimeter like super hardcore.
They're basically on their patrol.
They're there just to make sure. Like, there's not a lot of nefarious activity on this planet because it's pretty much just mining. So, and the ore that they're mining, while valuable in the end, not very valuable just to go and steal. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you got to process it.
Yeah, you got to process it. And then, and then all the stuff that goes into making stuff for starships and stuff.
Yeah.
Or like it, like the plating and stuff.
Right,
like,
right. Mm-hmm. It's not expensive now, but
you're not going to go in and you're not going to, you're not going to rob a place of it because, one, it's a lot of ore to take away. You know, so there's just there a couple guards just to be safe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can see, though, across from you and crossing down, you can see a little, like, trailer. Single door, a couple little windows, and, like, one of them's kind of partially open. You can see the light coming out, and the other ones have, like, little blinds on them. It's kind of closed off. But you can kind of gather that maybe where your target is.
Can I use the force to see if he's in that trailer? Or if there's anyone
give
in
the
trailer?
Yeah, use the force check, I guess.
Modify?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that's a 34.
Yeah, so you reach out with the force, and you can sense him. He's there watching, like, a holo video or whatever, like a holo TV. He's watching Spaceflix.
Holo TV, Spaceflix.
He's watching Spaceflix. Not that you know that, but that's just what he's doing. But you can sense him there. He's there.
He's just absent-minded.
And his feet are up, and he's just relaxing. He's not doing anything. It's been a long day at the mining facility.
All right, Mr. Sawbone. He's in that trailer. He's chilling. How you want to play this?
Well, he did say we need to make an entrance here. Like, we need to make this known that the Hutts took this guy out.
Well, I have some detonite. We can go bomb his trailer. Or, if you want to get really showy, we can go down there, put some detonite on the trailer, then I fling it up in the air, and then you boom that dude.
I mean, I'm all about showy. I'm all about showy. I almost wouldn't mind shooting him in the face either, though.
Dude, let's shoot him in the face. I want him. How do we get him out?
That's true. How do we get him out of the trailer?
Or do we get into the trailer with him?
I wonder if you could sneak into the trailer and, like, spook him to make him come out.
I could.
And then we could have detonite placed around and then blow it.
Y'all are obsessed with explosives. It's unhealthy, you guys.
it's just how we do things around here. We like to do it with a bang.
I kind of want to pick the trailer up with the force and just slam it into one of the guards.
Oh, man, that doesn't sound like a bad idea either, because then he could come out.
And then you can shoot him in the fucking face.
That's true.
Can you
pick up the trailer with a force?
Yes, I can.
You need a pretty good roll.
Yeah.
What's a more better way? That's a good way.
I'm pretty sure I can do it.
Yeah, I mean, in either way, I mean, if you fail, he could come out, and then we could still fuck him up. But what might be better is go ahead and planning the detonite just to be safe.
I'm all about
just
that.
Just in case?
Yeah.
Like as a plan B?
Yeah. I'm gonna go ahead and give you the detonator.
Yeah.
I'll take care of that. You want me to go detonate it?
Yeah, how about you sneak down there, you place some detonite around the area.
I got four sticks with me.
Yeah?
You want me to use all four?
Yeah, we're going to do it big.
Do it big?
Do it big. Let's place it around.
Do it big for Daddy Everbuck.
Yep, let's place it around the trailer.
On the trailer or around the trailer? I think I should do it on the trailer.
I think you should do it on the trailer as well.
Yeah, I'm going to do it on the trailer.
So while you guys are having this discussion, you guys are just sitting up top. You guys are next to that. I meant to say that box right there is an elevator to get down. Those two things that kind of curve up to this. They're like ramps to get the ore out.
Down, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So while you guys are standing there talking about this stuff, something catches your eye in the sky.
Perception?
Yeah, give me a perception.
20.
20? 18. Okay. So it catches both of your eyes because it's moving pretty quickly. You're able to identify that that's someone on a jetpack. A there's someone flying around with a jetpack. And they're flying around. They spot you. And they come drop down right next to you. Sawbone, you recognize this person. They are dressed in Mandalorian armor.
Is this Box Drag?
They take their helmet off, and it is.
I turn around and go, Box!
Box, where you been, man?
He looks at you, and he's like, Sawbone?
Yeah, man. Like,
what the hell are you doing here?
I'm actually on a mission for the Hutts.
I'm on a mission for the Hutts, too.
Oh, nice.
Which Hut?
The Provolone family.
Okay. Can I ask what you're trying to accomplish here?
I'm here to waste this motherfucker.
But me or the?
No, the.
Oh, the former.
The Sultan down there. Yeah.
Oh,
oh nice.
Well, he's a piece of shit. I'm here. They asked me to come kill him to gain favor for the Hutts.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do.
For Verbok?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, shit.
Splitsies?
Yeah. Havesies?
Actually, Sawbone, I have a proposition for you.
Okay.
I want you to do this, and I'm going to watch you. But I want to see how you do this, because I've been hearing a lot about you lately. People are talking about all the bounties you're doing, the stuff you're doing for Verbok. I think you have what it takes to be a Mandalorian. The Great Hunt is coming up.
Oh,
and
man.
If you can prove to me that you're a good bounty hunter, I will sponsor you in the Great Hunt. Me and Verbok, I will talk to Verbok, and he and I will sponsor you, and I'll be your trainer, and I'll be alongside you for the Great Hunt. But I need you to prove it to me, because I asked you if you would turn your friends in for the bounty, and you're standing here with one of them right now. So I know for sure you don't listen to direction.
Well, it's hard to listen to direction when this guy's so cute.
But
look at him.
Also,
money
talks.
He's cute.
You were there
with me when we got the mission to rescue this guy.
Well, the mission was to take out Yon Nave.
But look what I got.
But at the same time, I think you made the right choice. Because, again, all I've heard about is the bounties that you've been turning in constantly. On every planet you go to, you're claiming bounties. Bounties that people haven't been able to get yet. And I've heard about the job that you guys did on Ord Mantell. And while some of it was a little sloppy, the civilian casualties and all, taking out the senator was a beautiful shot. It was a beautiful setup. I think you have what it takes. So you have this one. I'll sit here and watch, and I just want to see how you do this.
Absolutely. Enjoy the show, Box.
Make it a good one. None of that just point blank Deadeye shoot in the face bullshit.
Okay.
I need some variety. You
want a show, do you?
I do. Make it good.
You got it.
All right. And so he kind of goes back, finds a little rock to sit on, and just kind of sits there. And he's like,
just like post it up.
Gentlemen.
I'm going to hand him a flask and a sack of meat.
And a sack of meat?
Cooked meat, not raw meat.
He takes the flask, downs it, pops open the bag of meat. And he's just like, Rodian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Enjoy the show.
All right.
All right. So,
Chubbubba, I would suggest planting the detonite on the trailer.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Once you plant the detonite on the trailer, I feel like we should do something super showy. Like,
yeah. I can fling the trailer into some guards. I can make the guards go away.
How about
fling it into the air and blow it up?
Plant the detonite, fling it in the air. Come back. Get on my jetpack, and then we jetpack up in the air, and then I push the button while we're in the air.
That sounds like a plan.
Sounds like an awesome show of excitement for Box to see.
Yeah, let's do it.
Don't fuck it up, you guys.
All right, so
you're gonna go play the Dead Knight.
Yeah, I'm gonna do some like squats, stick my little paws out, and just kind of drop a little bit, stretch, limber up.
Yeah. All right.
Crack, crack. And here's my stealth check to get over to that trailer. That's a 32.
Okay.
You're good.
Now tell me, which way are you going down? Are you going to take the elevator or are you going to take one of the ramps?
I'm going to take one of the ramps.
All right. Which ramp are you going to take? You have the one that's closest to you currently. but puts you on the opposite side of the quarry. Or you can just, you're up top, you can just go around to the other one and kind of drop down closer
to it. Yeah, that's what I was going to try and do, and then get down in that little ditch to move up to the back of the trailer.
Okay. I'm going to say that cell check got you down and that guard didn't see you, so you're kind of, no, you're in the ditch, that first ditch.
In here?
Yeah, go ahead and give me some more stealth checks to get behind the rock. And then once you're past behind that rock, you can
I'm re-rolling that. That was a 1, but it's going to turn into... That 1 became a 20.
Okay, yeah. So you'd make it all the way over to the trailer. You get up there and you kind of pop up. You're looking into the window. Just, you know, make sure that your guys... I mean, you know, yeah. You felt him through the force that he was in there, but you just want to...
Confirm.
Yeah. And he, again, he's sitting there. He's got, like, a wife beater on. Like, his work shirt is off to the side. His pants are off to the side. He's there, like a wife beater and like the heart colored boxers, right? He still has his socks on, his like white socks that are like up almost to his knee, kind of because they're pulled up because he's wearing boots. And he's just there. He's got like a bottle in his hand. He's watching something on Spacelix. I was trying
Spacer
to
do things.
So, no, I was gonna something for Orange is the New Black.
Oh.
green is the new gray.
Yeah, green is the new gray. Yeah. So he's watching something. It may not be a show you recognize. You haven't watched it yet. It looks old, like maybe it's a rerun, like an old show from.
He's gonna die comfy, at least.
Yeah. So he's just there. It's like a shitty apartment / office. Like you can see that, like. The room that he's in is very small and it has like a little cot and like he's in kind of like a really shitty looking lazy boy and he's got the Hollow video up in front of him like on the wall.
Does he have a toilet kitchen?
And he has a toilet kitchen.
Gross. Even by my standards.
He has it's more like a little kitchen.
For samurai?
Which is literally just like one little burner. And like a sink, a little burner, and like a sink. And underneath that is a little fridge.
Dude, if this guy's the foreman, how bad the workers have it?
It's a Jesus. It's a stove, sink, fridge, and microwave. It's a stove inkerator.
Yeah, it's like all one thing. It's not very big. And then next to it, there's like a little wall, like a little half wall sort of thing. And the other side is like a little curtain. There's a little shower there. And in the shower, there's a little tiny toilet.
I don't think I've felt bad for a target before.
I mean, he's getting paid a lot. It's just he's out on the job right now.
Yeah, that's just his work trailer.
Yeah.
All right. I am going to start planting explosives.
Okay, give me a couple more stealth checks.
Stealthing it up.
How many are you planning?
4.
Okay, give me 2 stealth checks.
That one is a 23.
Okay.
Yeah, that's successful.
All right.
Nobody heard or saw a thing.
So you plant the first 2 kind of wherever you're putting them, and then you move to the other side of the trailer. Give me another cell check.
This one's going to be good. All right, I'm going to spend a force point on this one.
Okay.
That is a 27.
Damn, you're good, dude.
Yeah.
Nobody even knows that you're there.
What was that noise? Not even.
No noise at all.
No noise at all. All right, so you plant the 4 sticks of detonite total. You pop your head back up again. You can see it through that window because it's on the other side of the trailer now. You can see like the front office area. There's like a couple of desks, and then there's an open door right now that's leading to his room. So you can still see his feet up. You can't necessarily see him, but you can still kind of see the glow of the Hollow video up on the wall. And so you know that you're good because he hasn't moved. So now you need to
get back.
Somehow get back.
I'm going to get on back. That's well over 30.
Yeah. So you successfully make it back up to Sawbone.
Hey, man, that was a piece of cake.
Nice work. Dude, yeah. I watched it through the lens the whole
time.
Dude,
that guy's apartment is terrible. Like, I think we're doing this guy a favor, honestly.
Hey, I mean, we're doing someone a favor.
Box is, you know, he's sitting there, and he has, like, he's still just eating
Rodian.
The Rodian.
Rodian meat.
The meat and stuff. And like jerky, I'm guessing. It's like jerky. Kind of like mm-hmm. Okay. So he's just kind of gnawing on it. And he's like, okay, I see part of the plan. That he set the detonite, but Sawbone, what are you doing?
Oh, you're going to see.
All right. Make it good.
All right. I'm going to climb up on his back on your jetpack. You put the detonator in your hand.
Here we go.
Yeah, let's do
this. So I'm going to jetpack up.
Okay. Give me a fly
check. Is it pilot?
Pilot check, yeah.
A pilot check.
And there's no negatives because I'm still under the weight, like the weight limit.
That's right.
Oh!
Nat 20.
Nice.
All right. So I make it like super nice and showy. I'm like all epic in the air. I've got my guns out. I got my gun out. I got my black. Like I got a little pistol in one hand. I got the detonator in the other. And I take the detonator in my right hand. And I got the pistol. And I go,
"This is for you, Box."
And I press the detonator button, and I like start raining down little blaster bullets at the same time on the trailer, just for some good measure,
just in case.
Okay, roll that beautiful bean footage, and by that I mean damage.
Bean footage, bean damage.
That is 82 damage.
82 damages.
Oh. No. Okay. Oh, this is awesome. Okay. So it just goes up and like it is lifted off the ground, the trailer. It's just an explosion of just the debris and stuff. You see like parts of the Lazy Boy flying everywhere. Past your head goes the burner from the stove. Just goes, just like flies by. And you're raining down. You're just shooting and stuff. You've definitely, at this point, have alerted the two guards. They see you shooting before the explosion goes off. And then, obviously, then they're looking at that because their boss was in there. And it just went up. But you see as the building is lifted and like split in half, and there's again just debris and fire and all this. You see his body come flying out and like land on the ground, and he is moving.
Oh my gosh, he survived that. Incredible.
He is yeah, and he's like not screaming, not that you'd be able to hear it over the explosion. But he's definitely like, and he's missing like one of his legs from like the knee down is gone. And then his other leg is like barely hanging on at the thigh. And like he's missing like a hand, and he is just pulling himself.
Like Anakin style.
Kind of Anakin style. Yeah. Like he still has the arm. It's just his hand is gone. And his other one's missing like a finger. And he's looking pretty fucked up and covered in burns. He somehow survived that.
Somehow.
Yeah, and so you're still doing cover fire. They see him. So the one that is closest to you is going to start shooting at you.
Okay.
And the other one is going to run to him.
Oh, boss!
Yeah, it's his boss.
To his wounds?
Yeah.
He pulls out a Band-Aid.
Yeah, I mean, he can't do anything, but right now that's explosion and his boss fall in front of him. And so, like, that's his natural instinct is to, like,
run
to his, yeah, and try
his
to
aid.
Help.
Yeah.
Even though it's a lost cause.
That guard shot at you a couple times, but they just, with the blaster bolts, zip by you like it's nothing.
Too fast for you.
Yeah. You still have the guard there still shooting at you, although he's missing. And then Anson Thatch is laying on the ground. So you're shooting at who?
His name is Anson Thatch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take aim. Use Deadeye and shoot him right in the face.
Okay.
Or the back of the face because he's like face down.
Is he face down?
Yeah, he's face down.
So it won't be
like top of the dome, bro.
The back of the face is otherwise known as your head.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the back of the face is also known as your head.
Is the rest of your head.
The attack roll to shoot Anson Thatch in the head is a 22.
You hit him.
That is 32 damage.
So you shoot him right in the back of the skull, and so he's
like
lying there,
face down.
Trying to like pull himself away from the fire and destruction behind him. And his co-worker or the guard there is like, you know, trying to like help him somehow. Like even he doesn't really know what he's doing. He's like, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's freaking out over him, and all of a sudden his head just blows up. It just pops like a balloon right in front of him. Just and suddenly he's covered in his brains and stuff. and he is just like not moving, just in shock, just looking, yeah, just looking at like this now headless and limp, almost limbless corpse of the foreman in front of him.
After I take the shot, I look back and I go,
like that, Fox? Is that good?
Fox takes a bite of his of the jerky he's still eating. He's like, "You've still got two people down there. What are you gonna do with them?" Because that one is still like at this point still missing, but still firing.
Well, see if he is missing.
Yeah, let's see if he is.
We ain't getting paid to kill him.
This guy's just not very good.
Yeah, he's just not good. He just can't catch.
I look back at Box and I go,
"Well, the job was to take out the foreman, and we want to still have favor with this mining group. It's not really the guard's fault. They're just there. So I'm all for leaving the guards."
Hovering in the air mid combat.
Yeah, no, I'm not in the air. I landed.
Oh, you landed?
Okay.
I shot the guy in the head.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I was imagining you also still in the air. Just like, oh, I don't know. It's not his fault. He's just a guard.
And he gets paid hourly, man.
Like,
come on.
Yeah, you're just like in the air, just kind of strafing as like blaster bolts are flying by. Just having this conversation.
I mean, that's an okay.
Super casual.
You can do that as well.
Box Drag's just sitting on a rock, just still eating jerky while you're just watching. You like, yeah, no, it's fine, it's cool, like I don't need to go after him. All right, so you land over next to him. He throws you back the remainder of the jerky. There's only a couple pieces left.
Yeah, there's more. I'm about to go get some more.
Yeah, and so he throws it back to you and he's like let's go, and you guys just kind of run. Like,
get the fuck out.
I'm staying on his jetpack. I'm not gonna get down.
So you guys run back.
Tiny
and,
little legs.
You get to your ship and you can see like his ship is like right next to yours. And
does he comment on my awesome ship? Like, please.
This would be so great.
Okay. Yeah, why not? I'll let you have it.
Because I have like the sweet ship that's parked and like everyone loves it.
Yeah, I mean he's kind of got like think like the bounty hunter's ship like from the Old Republic. The Old Republic, where it's kind of not necessarily a junker, but it's not the best looking ship. It gets the job done.
Yeah.
And it's got some awesome firepower to it. But, you know, in comparison to your, like, chromed out, like, sleek
looking,
like, just looking ship, right? Because you know that you've got Camden Toydarian back on Nalhutta cleaning that bitch every day.
Like, waxing it
like,
every
waxing
day.
Waxing it,
yeah.
Keeping it, like, you know, the upkeep on that real nice. You guys run up, and he was like, "You know, I saw the ship when I landed. I didn't think it was you. Like, that, I don't know how you guys lucked into a ship that nice."
"Well, you know, that group you thought I should turn in, they come in real handy.
But if it got you this ship, that's apparent. I probably need to find a new crew to run with, because..." And he looks over at his ship, just kind of like...
"Listen, you've taught me a lot, so you're always more than welcome to tag along."
"Well, let's talk about that. I mentioned the Great Hunt. It's coming up pretty soon. I'm going to go back, since the Provolones and Verbok all had the same goal in mind. I'm going to let him know that he took care of it, that it'll probably be fine. Because either way, this was coming out of someone's pocket. I'm sure they'll be happy not to have to pay the fee, but the job was still done. I don't mind taking the hit. You know, I'm the only Besalisk Mandalorian. There's just not a lot of us. There's just not really a lot of us as bounty hunters. I won the Great Hunt 20 years ago. And I had the same thing. I had a mentor who saw something in me. And I've always been looking for that bounty hunter for me to sponsor and take to the hunt. And I think you're it. And I know I said don't use Deadeye. You know, I wanted to see some flair, but that explosion. I mean... The dude fucking survived. Like, what the hell? I'm very impressed. So I'll be talking to Verbok about him sponsoring you and me going along as your, like, trainer.
Nice.
The in-between the Mandalorians and you. So I'll talk to him and we'll make this happen. You're going to go to the Great Hunt.
Oh, it's so exciting. Thanks, Box, man. That's, like, my dream. It's my dream to be a Mandalorian bounty hunter just like you.
And with that, you guys depart. You say your goodbyes. He gets on his ship, and you get on your ship. Both of you kind of, it's that awkward kind of, all right, well, goodbye. And then you get on your ship, and you both leave the same way, because you're both going back to Nalhutta.
So we raced to get there.
Yeah.
Man, we really could have orchestrated this better. I feel like there needs to be some more clear channels of communication.
Probably could have gotten PM15 involved and really just cleared this up.
As you guys are nearing Naboo, Chubrub asks if you mind dropping him off.
Yeah, man. I was thinking, I just came into some money. I kind of want to take a little vacation, put my little paws in the sand, get a little drunk, you know, do that vacation thing. I've been working for, like, years and killing. I think I need a break.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a break, I'll gladly drop you off. Just make sure you give me a ring when you're ready for me to come get you.
I sure am.
But you're not all by your lonesome forever.
I think I'll be all right. As long as I'm not in a cage, I think I'll be fine.
So you drop him off at a spaceport there. We'll just go ahead and say Theed, because I don't know any other Naboo cities.
Let's
so,
go with that.
Yeah, it's like a capital city. So you just drop him off there?
Yeah, I can just drop him off there. And, I can.
Do you want me to stick around?
You want to go on a vacation, man? Put your toes in the sand?
I mean, I'm always up for putting my feet up.
Hell yeah, let's go. Let's go find us a resort.
Okay, you're just going to find a beach here on Naboo and chill? Yeah,
just find a beach, and honestly... Like, I might just take the helmet part of the suit off and just drink Long Island iced teas on the beach all day.
Sure.
LITs. Getting and
then,
lit.
And then, you know, maybe one day I'll run into Chubrub while we're both vacationing.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be there. He's taking about a week vacation, so.
Yeah. I'll hang out, and right. He can, that way he can give me a ring if he needs anything.
All right. You guys get a call from Verbok. Or you guys call Verbok when you guys land. I just let him know, like, hey,
we're gonna chill.
We're gonna chill for a week, and he was like, that, yeah, totally. I guess he's seen on the news the explosion and the kill. And
I could have uploaded like the kill.
Yeah, yeah. You claim the bounty. The ship and yeah, upload the and kill. So he sends both of you 20,000 credits.
Hey, nice work.
And he lets you know that he has an appointment with Box Drag the next day, and they're going to be talking about the Great Hunt. And he'll see you boys when you get back.
Perfect.
Nice.
To be continued next time on 8-Bit Saga Presents Shadow of the Old Republic.